Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Matthew 22. We begin reading at verse 34 through verse 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Hear God's word. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This ends the reading in God's word. Let's again bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, to you we lift our hearts with gratitude for the word you have given. We lift our hearts also acknowledging that we have not loved you as we ought. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit may open our hearts to this reading of your word, but also now the preaching of that word. Lead us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray you would give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Using the law to trap Jesus. The previous passage in Matthew, the Sadducees were trying to trap Jesus with regard to a problem concerning marriage and heaven, of a man that had a wife and she bore him no children. He died, so his brother then was to marry her in order to give her an heir, and an heir for his brother. He died, so she died, but marries the next brother, all the way down through seven brothers. And the Sadducees, who believe there is no heaven, who believe there is no are no angels, who only hold to the law of God and not to the remainder of the Old Testament, they are wondering whose husband will she have when she goes to heaven. And Jesus answers very simply that we will be like the angels. We will not be married as we are on earth. Now, does that mean that we're going to be angels in heaven? No, we're not going to be angels. We're going to be like the angels who are not married. That's the idea. But whatever that relationship is, and as beautiful and wonderful as marriage is, we sometimes wonder, wow, are we going to be missing something? And the answer is, no, we're not. Because whatever that relationship is going to be much, much better. Much more beautiful. Of all the broken relationships that we might have in our life now, those relationships, as we come through Jesus Christ, those relationships are mended. What can't be mended on this earth in their entirety are going to be mended in heaven. Those who are in Christ. That's a beautiful promise. But now it's the Pharisees. They're going to take their turn as well. And the one question they had to do with the law. And as they ask the question of Jesus, you start to wonder just what are they asking about with regard to the law? They heard that Jesus silenced the Pharisees, and so one of them, an expert in the law, tested him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" What's the greatest law? Now, our answer is very simple. Jesus' answer is very simple. And we don't have to think far to know what Jesus' answer is. We hear it often in our worship services. But perhaps they're asking Jesus a question that may find a loophole in Jesus' thinking. Can we trip him up? Because they're testing him. The greatest law. Well, on what basis? What is the greatest law? Now, thanks to the internet today, the 613 commandments that are put together in the Talmud, you can download those now. If you ever wonder what they're like, well, it's going to be about 15 pages typewritten, double column, single spaced. They're not long. They're quite short. But you're going to find that each of these commandments, at least the edition I have, even cites the place in the first five books where these commandments come from, or where they might be related. I'm not going to read all 613 to you today. But many of them are right on target, commandments that we would be ready to say, yes, I believe these are true. And these are good commandments. Many of them have been taken too far. But even among the Hebrews, there was a certain priority. Six constant commandments, perpetual, applicable at all times, for all the days of our lives. First, to believe in God and that He created all things. Second, not to believe in anything else other than God. Third, to believe in God's oneness. Fourth, to fear God. Five, to love God. Six, not to pursue the passions of your heart and stray after your eyes. Those are the six constant perpetual commandments. Okay, now you're starting to get somewhat of a picture of where these men are coming from. Which is the first and greatest commandment? Okay, 613 commandments. What's number one, we probably ask ourselves? To know there is a God. Simple enough. To know there is a God. Two, not to even think that there are other gods beside Him. Three, to know that He is one God. Four, to love Him. Five, to fear Him. Now, we have all kinds of rules in our lives as well. And I remember going to school and remember one of the first things we were taught is no talking in class unless you raise your hand or are called upon. No chewing gum in class. Yes, we could not chew gum in class. And even as a child, no hands on the table when you're ready to eat. Always say please. We have all kinds of little rules, don't we, in life. Or greeting the people after worship service. There was one man that his sons would come up, I'd shake their hand, and they'd always have their eyes looking down. And their father would immediately say, look him in the eye. Look at him when you say something. Okay, little rules we have in life. And there's a propensity to take God's law and put it into the hands of men. To make God's law something less than what it is. To make it something that is going to befit our culture. And that's really, as Jesus comes to that first and greatest commandment, are they going to find a loophole? No, they're not going to find a loophole. They're going to find Jesus answering very straightforward. He says the first and great commandment in verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Again, from the Shema. And every Israelite would recite this every day. The first words out of their mouth is that prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. As we read in Deuteronomy. A total love for God. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Psalm 103 verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise His holy name. Or 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. With all our mind. As well as with all our soul, with all our heart. Or to use the word strength out of Deuteronomy, that we are to give ourselves, those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Or Romans 12, as we begin that last section, the practical section, some people call it. Having gone through the subjects of sin and salvation, now we deal with service or gratitude. That brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. An entire person totally worshiping and loving God with all of his being. Now, modern views of love have stolen from the Scripture the word love. One definition is that love is a number of emotions and experiences related to a strong affection, a sense of strong affection. And modern love is defined by its culture. And so on the basis of love today, we have same-sex marriage being proposed. And say, how can it be wrong? We're to love one another. God does have a commandment. Jesus gives a commandment in John chapter 14. As he promises the Holy Spirit to be sent to them, another comforter. But in the middle of that passage, he talks in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The love of God involves obedience. It is itself a commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. John Piper, I'm sure we all are familiar with the name, perhaps have read his books, perhaps have heard some of his sermons, or some of his lectures. A book that I'm reading presently is a book called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. And it's a book for pastors. And the idea of the book is simply that pastors, while you have to do your work in a manner that is honorable and according to Scripture, he asked the question, how does a person weep professionally for others? How does a person pray professionally? Now, we come before our God from the heart. And every one of us comes to God from the heart. We come worshiping God from the heart. We come to our service today with a desire that God be loved from our heart, because he has first loved us. And John Piper in his book says, God does everything for his glory, and that is why we should. The role of the Holy Spirit is to burn in me what he has been burning with all eternity, God's love for God. Or more precisely, God the Father's delight in the panorama of his own perfections reflected as the perfect image in the perfect image of his Son. God is the most God-centered person in the universe. God's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. All his works are for his own name's sake, the glory of his name. God performs salvation for his own sake. And out of that grows his love for you and me, as God loves himself. The love of God within the work of the Trinity. God's love for his own Son, as he sends his Son because of his love for us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The blessing of love comes from God and has to be defined by God, not by the determinant of our culture in which we live. The first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your entire being. Every one of these words you can take separately, and it all means the same thing. My whole self. And a second is like it, as Jesus explains it here. And here he takes from Leviticus 19:18. Now that verse begins with, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. We hear it another way in Matthew 7, verse 12, where Jesus gives to us what has come to be known the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I'm going to get ahead of myself here because it does say after this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And one of the things that even modern culture and within the church, there's been a twisting of this commandment to say that how can I love somebody else if I don't really know how to love myself? And so there are sermons out there that tell you how to love yourself. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. The idea is we basically do love ourselves. I know as Christians we are taught to deny ourselves. And that's a proper attitude. But for what reason? That we might turn to Christ. That we might find our hope in Him. That we might find His love enveloping us. Love your neighbor as yourself. The idea is we do love ourselves. Now, yes, there are some people that for some masochistic reason hate themselves. There are times even ministers get down. And one individual counseled a minister at such a time. What do I do about it? And the other minister says, go visit someone. Go visit one of the elderly. Go visit someone in a nursing home. Go visit someone in a hospital. Go visit someone who is down and out. Go visit someone who is needy. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, God blessed that advice. He knew what it was like. He knew what it was now. Love your neighbor as yourself. Care for one another. Yes, Paul puts it in a context as well. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? Such was the other question. And we're familiar with Jesus' answer to that one. It was a more lengthy answer. In fact, it was an answer that was by way of a story. A man walking on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he's overtaken by bandits, and he is beaten up and left on the side of the road to die as all that he has is taken from him. A priest walks by, sees it, but pays no attention, keeps on walking. A Levite walks by, sees it, pays no attention. In fact, walks on the other side of the road to avoid the implication he even saw. And a Samaritan comes, takes the man, binds up his wounds, takes him to an inn, and there makes sure that the man is cared for while he has to go away, and leaves enough money so the man can be cared for, and makes sure that that man is going to be cared for, and that the innkeeper will have enough money when he comes back, will make sure that he pays whatever is remaining. Now, who is the neighbor to this man? Of course, the Samaritan, the one who showed kindness. Love your neighbor as yourself. The powerful indictment in John's first letter, in John 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar.
For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. A second like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And in so loving your neighbor as yourself, you demonstrate a love for God, the first and greatest commandment. The two go together. And that final statement indicates that there is no true obedience without loving God and our neighbor. For Jesus says in verse 40, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Where does that love come from? It comes from God. All the law of God that God has given to us hang on these two basic commandments. John 4, verse 10, where we suddenly realize another picture of the word love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins, a covering for our sins. Sent His Son to placate, to bear the wrath of God for us. Such is God's love for you and me. You want to see a picture of love? You look at Jesus Christ. And then 1 John 4, verse 19. Notice all the 1 John 4s. Read that passage if you want to learn about love. You read it a number of times in that one chapter, 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 19, we love because He first loved us. That's where it comes from. He working in our hearts. And it's the purpose of Jesus' work as He prays in John 17, verses 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone, not for these disciples here. I pray for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, as You are in Me and I in You, that they may be one in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. And I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. I and them, You and Me, may they be brought to complete unity, that the world may know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Jesus also emphasizes, well, through the Apostle Paul, regarding the manner of love. As he begins that beautiful chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, he emphasizes that simply an outward display of obedience does not cut it. It is to be with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. And so he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I have gained nothing. Put our full, wholehearted trust, love before God. But he goes on in 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but I don't think we'd be too surprised if a number of you in your weddings had this passage read. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and following. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Now, try some time to work through each of these. Love is patient. And you see Jesus on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem in Matthew 23. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. The kindness of our God and Savior. Love doesn't envy. Matthew 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Love doesn't boast. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. You see, Jesus Himself is the very picture of this love that we have in 1 Corinthians 13. As we go down from one category to the next, love is not proud. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You see what our Savior has done. We see the outworking of it. Why do we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Why do we love our neighbors ourselves? Because God is love. We love because He first loved us and because He sent His Son to take our sins away, to give us a new heart, a heart that does respond in love to Him and to one another. What a place Christ Church is in Janesville. What a beautiful place it is. Oh, we're not always perfect. We come confessing our sins. We hear God's law. We hear even these words from Jesus today of love God with all our heart, our neighbors, ourselves. We know we've fallen short of it. And yet we know where we turn. We turn to Jesus Christ. We turn to Him who forgives us of our sins. We turn to Him who sent His Spirit, that the fruit of that Spirit might be worked in us, that we might demonstrate that the fruit of that Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. So consider your Savior's great love. Consider what a testimony you have in this community. Consider the blessing that others may have as they are drawn in to see the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. And what our Savior has done for you and for His church here. Continue to focus on our Savior Jesus Christ and from Him. That first and greatest commandment is given to you. And the second like it, love the Lord your God with your whole being. Love your neighbor as yourself. And everything else God has commanded hangs on that as it begins with Him. We love because He first loved us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You again for the love of our Savior. We thank You for the blessing of knowing that You have given to us a great privilege, not only in the knowledge of our being loved by You, and the knowledge, Lord, that the love You have placed to the hearts of one another here bring out that love for one another. And we pray, Lord, that You would also watch over that witness that we bring, that others may see that You are God, or a God who has shown great love, that even through the most difficult of times, we know that we are not alone, we are never left or forsaken, but we have You, our God, but we also have those that You have given. that we may demonstrate, Lord, the love of our Savior to one another, a love that is kind, a love that is patient, a love that doesn't boast or is not rude, but a love that speaks the truth in love, a love that obeys the commandments, a love that puts you first, O God, a love that has a love for your people, even as our Savior has loved us. Father, we come before you then and ask that you would work in us more fully that great love that you have commanded of us. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.